Fundamentally, it was, at least in its early stages, a movement that had to do with schools. The provision of schools, the provision of masters, the provision of books, and the provision of a basic curriculum. Now, this provides an opportunity to talk a little bit about the curriculum of schools in the early Middle Ages, but also really in late antiquity, because the late antique curriculum was maintained by the Carolingians and was handed on by them to Europe of the high Middle Ages, as we'll see in later lectures. This curriculum was built up on what we call the seven liberal arts. The seven liberal arts. Now, the idea of the liberal arts was that they would make a person free. They would free one's mind from ignorance, free one's mind from petty preoccupations, make one able to think, make one able to function effectively. Now, the seven liberal arts were grammar, the basic study of the Latin language, logic, right reasoning, rhetoric, beautiful speech, yes, but in antiquity, particularly as the Roman Republic gave way to the Roman Empire, and as free citizens speaking freely in a republic gave way to an autocracy, to an imperial world, the arts of rhetoric were maintained, yes, but also transformed ever so slightly into sophisticated forms of literary criticism. So that now, for example, all of us can probably remember those days way back in high school when we had to learn all of the various rhetorical forms, onomatopoeia and all of those kinds of things, you see. Well, those were, of course, originally tricks of language that one was meant to hear. And then, of course, rooms full of schoolchildren were sat, were put in their seats and made to find them on a printed page, which is a kind of a curious thing. But anyway, rhetoric became the careful study of language. All right. If grammar is the basic provision of language, rhetoric is the study of its adornments. And then astronomy. Well, the study of the stars, the study of the heavens, useful for navigation, for example, useful for reckoning the seasons. Arithmetic, simple reckoning, being able to do your sums. Geometry, measuring the earth is what geometry means, useful for building, useful for, again, navigation. A very practical discipline, but also a discipline that carried with it some philosophical implications. Remember when we were talking way back in one of our earlier lectures about the Pythagoreans, for example, and how the Pythagorean theorem led people to certain assumptions about how laws were sort of woven into the fabric of the universe. Well, geometry continued to carry some elements of philosophical, what we would think of as philosophical teaching in it. And then finally, music. Now, music, the technical study of music, didn't mean you learned how to play an instrument. It was more like what we would call musicology, you see, the study of music as a science. Now, one of Charlemagne's palace scholars divided these seven liberal arts into two groups. The trivium, the three ways, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, became, in a sense, the elementary curriculum, the basic curriculum. This is what people would start with. Many people didn't really advance much beyond this, but this would be the very beginning of an education. One should learn to handle the Latin language. One should learn to reason effectively. Imagine that. It was thought that people a long time ago should have to reason well. And then rhetoric. That is to say, the art of adorning language, of decorating language with beauty. And then the quadrivium, the four ways, arithmetic, astronomy, geometry, and music. Here we have, in a sense, the slightly more advanced disciplines, the study of which was available only to a certain number of students, those who sort of moved on beyond the basic literary disciplines of the trivium, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. So that was the basic curriculum, then, of the schools from antiquity right on through the Middle Ages. Now, the school tradition on the continent had not collapsed, but it was in a state of serious disarray. Roman schools had existed, of course, to provide public schools, I should say, in Roman cities. Very wealthy families were always able, of course, to hire tutors for their children. Their children didn't go out to the public schools. But public schools existed in the cities of the Roman world as places where persons could be educated in the basic elements of the Roman culture, could be educated to take positions, for example, in the Roman imperial government, perhaps in town government. So not surprisingly, as the Roman establishment itself slowly passed from the scene, the educational system that had nurtured it and in turn been nurtured by it likewise began to pass from the scene. There had been schools, as we saw in an earlier lecture, in cathedrals and in monasteries, but education, we can say, across the 6th and 7th centuries, was rather a hit-and-miss project. You see, it was not absent, but it wasn't uniformly present.